Well, it all happens today. The Australian Open kicks off down in Melbourne there. Rog Rashid, he's going to be courtside calling all the action. And Rog, we are excited at the moment from the performances of two Aussies over the weekend, the Sydney International, and that was Alex de Minaur and Ash Barty. Can you talk us through how excited you got and how impressed you were with their performances?
Yeah, good morning, Matt, Andrew. Look, they were very impressive, both of them. I mean, first, let's start with Ash. I mean, you know, she'll be the world number one. She'll be the top 10, a couple of top 10 players. She had Kvitova in the women's final, with really where she wanted her. You know, if you're gonna get involved in a women's final, taking the first set, you've got a player who's at the other end who played two night matches and who probably would have got to sleep 3 o'clock on the two previous mornings. So that was really impressive. More so about the way she navigated through the week, the calmness that, you know, when you've got the Australian in your home country, just the pressures that some people feel playing sport here, compared to being released when they're overseas and they feel like there's almost not the eyes watching them. But Ash has been someone who's just loved it, absorbed it. She's relishing the opportunity to be one of the top players in the world now. You can see that she's very comfortable and she has enormous belief once she walks out on the court. That was impressive. To lose that, that's not a big... I mean, yes, it's a big deal at the time. You know, she was 3-0 up in the third set. But look at her opponent. Her opponent's a major champion winner on a couple of occasions. She's just, you know, she's an absolute class player. You can take the racket out of your hand. And so there was nothing... There was nothing disappointing about that, except the fact that she could have won a home title. And for Alex, you know, everything we've seen so far from Alex has been all upside. He turns up on the court, he delivers on the practice court, he delivers as far as attitude, and he's also, you can still see, he's very comfortable now. But he mentioned it when you talk about belief. I mean, we all know in sport, if you play it, once you believe you're involved, you're okay to be in that environment.
Yeah.
Different things happen to you physically and mentally, and the mental side of it's a big one. And Alex was outstanding to do what he did on the week through the week.
How do you see him going against? What are we? No one knows. Seems to know much about Sousa. What can we expect from him today?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we're going to get all of the same. I mean, when you jump out of a tournament win and you come here, there's obviously a lot of hype. But you haven't had to sit through the hype for 3 or 4 days or 5 days. It wasn't as if he'd won the first, you know, he'd won Brisbane and then had to come here and deal with a whole week of the expectations of what might come at the Australian Open as far as for him, where he's got through Sydney. Yes, there are a few late nights, but he's only been here, you know, he gets here on and has a day and a half, you know, to get ready really to play his first round. So it sort of just goes on autopilot, really. Just gets his things settled here. So I don't see there's going to be any hiccups in this match. There may be a moment where, you know, it's over five sets, so and the conditions are pretty warm. So you know, there may be Margaret Court Arena. There's a roof on it there. So if the heat rule comes in play today, then he's generally going to be around that. He's not before 3 p.m. at Margaret Court Arena. So if the heat rule comes in play, the roof comes across and he'll be playing, you know, an indoor tournament, to be perfectly honest. So I think the conditions for him are going to be perfect.
Let's have a look at the men's and women's going through there. There's some tough outings in round one, four. And we're talking about, we just spoke a second ago, Tomic and Kyrgios up against some big-name players.
Yeah, there are. Let's a bit Atomic because he plays tonight. I'm covering that match actually, so it'll be interesting. I just feel like I can't see any way to get that he moves forward in this match, because Cilic is a strong competitor. He's a week in, week out competitor. He's fit. There might be a moment, but you know, for Bernard over five sets, I don't see the physicality. You know, you can't tick that box mentally. You can't tick that box. And his tennis has been, you know, well, your ranking doesn't lie. So I just think that's going to be an extremely hard ask. I would be, you know, I'd put my house on that one. But I hope I don't lose my house.
Yeah. good mark.
No, yeah, good.
He's listening.
And then Nick, you know, I think Nick, this is an interesting one for Nick, because when you're playing someone like Milos, who's Raonic, who's also come back from a little bit of injury. He hasn't found his best tennis over the, you know, over the last year and a half. He was touted as being someone who might break through and win a major. I don't quite see that now, right at the moment. But for Nick, you know, he's got a massive serve. He's got a big game, but it means you have to be alert from the get go. So when you've got someone who's got a big serve like that, it puts the alert button on. There's not going to be a lot of big points played. It's going to be a lot of firepower style tennis. But for me, I still think Nick wins this match. He's got different ways of winning points. He's got a lot more talent with his hands to be able to do things. He serves better than Milos as far as what he generates from his serve. And I think the alertness of it, he likes the court he's going to be on. So I think he's going to. I think it's going to be a good. It's not going to be a great spectacle, but I feel like Nick wins.
What do you think of the men's draw, Rog? Like Novak's $2.20 with tab.com.au to win the tournament with Roger and Nadal following. How do you see it playing out? Like, it's a really tricky competition to predict, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing we're still talking about those three as the top three, especially throwing Roger's name in there for when you won. You know, there's 51 majors between these guys. It's crazy. I think Novak has to be the favourite. His draw, you know, you look at his draw, yes, he's got some people in front of him. He says Shapovalov in the third round, potentially Goff and Medvedev in the fourth round, Nishikori potentially in the quarterfinals if the seeding sort of work it was like way out. I like all those matchups for Novak. Yeah, he's got to play some tennis, but I think they're matchups that he gets through. In his half of the draw, there's Zverev, who has yet got to a semi of a major. So, you know, there's going to be a first there. Dominic Thiem, who's, you know, there's guys there that I think, and obviously Nick's in there as well, but there's guys there that I think he looks after. And then you've got the other half of the draw where Roger is at. He's got some interesting guys to navigate through, but Roger, Rafa on the same half of the draw when they, you know, there's a little bit of wear and tear through that. If they can get through, if one of those guys gets through unscathed, then we've got a different ball game in the men's final. But so that's the men and the women's. You know, there's eight women that have won the last eight Grand Slams, which is staggering as far as, you know, no one's actually been able to grab two or three of those majors and really sort of set themselves apart from the rest. And obviously, and then you've got Serena, who was runner up twice last year. So she's gone through quietly, Serena, well, as quiet as you can have Serena go through her arrival here in Australia. But, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what type of tennis she plays out. That's a real hard one for me. I think Angie Kerber has played the best tennis in Australia so far that I've seen, firstly at the Hopman Cup and also then in Sydney. She was unlucky to lose to Kvitova. Kvitova was just, you know, just too good, simply too good on the night. I feel like the consistency coming from her side of the court so far just leans me to her and the women.
And she's at $8 there. And as you mentioned, Novak Djokovic is at $2.20. Your best today, Alex de Minaur, takes on Pedro Sosa as $1.06. You think he'll get the job done then?
Okay. So that wasn't great for the listeners. I'm sorry about that. But
no.
Or you can just get on all the top eight, or you can get on all the seeded players. Does that work? I don't know. That might give you something as well. But I just think... That's 106 is pretty short, isn't it, for someone who's just played a tournament? But I think that's just where it sits, yeah.
Well, it sort of confirms his where he is at the moment, doesn't it? He's got confidence.
His winks.
His winks. As you said before, Rog, it's belief that he should be out there and competing. So that's why he's up there. Hey, what was your thoughts on Andy Murray? He was struggling up in Brisbane last week. He was hobbling pretty much. And then obviously came out during the week or last week and said, my hip's no good and I may have to retire. I may have to call it quits.
Yeah, I've known about it for a long time, actually. And I'm quite close to Andy, so I've known his issues and his thinking. And look, it's sad. It's disappointing. But, you know, it's sport and you get to a certain period of your sporting career you can either go, you end up being lucky enough to go out on your own terms. But there's not many of those guys. And if you are, you've set that up, you know, well in advance. I think you've actually decided that's going to be it. So you've sort of told, you know, whether it's at a club, you've told the club that, look, I've got, you know, this season or whatever, you know, I've got you know, the last half of the season to go. And, but with Andy, he's just such a competitive nut. And when you're playing an individual sport, he wanted to try and get a little bit more out of himself. It wasn't coming good. After the surgery, he had the same amount of pain, so there was no sort of real recovery. So he's going to be missed, because I think while he's watching, the biggest thing for Andy is he's watching Novak have his resurgence and domination right now. He's watching Roger do the same thing, and Rafa's still there, and he was part of that. He joined those guys and got to number one in the world, won 3 majors. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. No one's done that back to back. And Davis Cup. So his record's an amazing record, and he's just disappointed, I think, that he's still not there going going hammer and tongs with these boys. But great career. Really good, one of the great tennis brains on the tennis court. I mean, if you get to talk to him about tennis, you're watching tennis in front of him, the questions that he'll ask you about the tennis court and want to get your thoughts on it are quite, they're intriguing, and he's a real outthinker with the tennis court.
Hips are such ugly injuries in anything, but I'm imagining in tennis, like, that's excruciating pain when you swivel like you do, and like, how much pain has he been in to be that point of his career where he's got to say, oh, that's it?
Yeah, well, I it's every day, it's all day, it's in general walking. His number one asset, was his physicality, his ability to actually get himself out explosively out of the blocks, and then get himself to those balls to just use his skill set. And when you've got that explosiveness, it also shrinks the court for the opposition up the other end. They feel like they can't get past you. Now you take that away, and you're not prepared to push off and explode out. The court all of a sudden expands. People don't fear you up the other end of the court, that you're going to use your physicality against them. And so that just has to mentally. That would be a nightmare walking onto the tennis court every time if you're Andy. And he loved the load. He loved loading up in pre-season. He loved all the sort of his number one thing once he got his head around it was, physically I will be the best, so no one will be able to beat me over time, because we don't go by a time clock. And so he was just, there was no pain release, and I think that's just, that's just it. I've got to get out of there and look after my body.
Yeah, it was sad to see him announce that at the press conference the other day. Roger, we'll be talking to you plenty over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, boys. Hope we have some good stories along the way. I'm sure there will be.